Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God did many wondrous things for the Israelites when He delivered them from Egyptian bondage. One would think that His people would never even think of turning away from Him. Unfortunately, this was not the case. It did not take them long to turn away from the Lord and to start walking according to their own counsels. This was, and still is, a recipe for disaster. Please open your Bible to Psalm 81, verse 11, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this passage.
And then you would think, what a wonderful thing it was for God to rescue His people. Surely they would never even think of turning away. Look at the first word of verse 11. But. That tragic three-letter word. But my people would not listen to my voice. And Israel would none of me. They would not submit to me. So notice what happens when the people of God refuse to listen to the Lord. There's only one other option. We don't live our life in the vacuum. You're either on the narrow path or the broad path. There's no peace between, or no concord between light and darkness. There's no middle ground. But they would not hearken to me. They would none of me, that is Israel. So notice, I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, or their stubborn desires, and they walked in their own counsels. Sad, isn't it? Completely unnecessary. Well, if they weren't listening to God's voice, who were they listening to? The Bible calls the devil the tempter. And if we're not listening to God, we're either going to be listening to the enemy in all of his propaganda, whatever that means, politically, spiritually, or we're going to be listening to ourselves. He says, I gave them up to their own heart's lusts. When the Jews failed to respond to God's invitation to turn to Him, the end result was that they ended up in Babylon. And when they ended up in Babylon, there was the destruction of the temple. There was the destruction of Jerusalem. There was the burning of the temple. And because they wouldn't listen to God, they became weak. They became spiritually weak, morally weak, physically weak. Instead of winning wars, they were losing wars. God brought them out of the bondage of Egypt. But now they're back in bondage. Whenever a person turns their back on God, they inevitably end up in bondage. The Bible says the backslider in heart will be filled with their ways. Now, for a while, they may be having fun, and there may be the excitement because there is pleasure in sin for a season. But I got to tell you, in almost 40 years of ministering to people, I've never had an easy appointment with someone who backslid and ruined their life. Never. Thank God that He restores, that He heals, that He forgives, but there's a whole lot of regret. Tragically, God had given these men up to their own stubborn hearts. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, God said that He would not always strive with man because they would be given over to their own imaginations. When it says here that God gave them up, it reminds us, doesn't it, of Romans chapter 1. How when the people knew of God, they didn't give glory to God. And the first step towards depravity is this: neither were they thankful. When we forget God, we stop being thankful people. And being thankful is an important, an important part of the Christian life. The Bible says in everything give thanks. We are to be thankful people. Life is rough. Disappointment, bereavement, all kinds of things happen to all of us. But God says be thanks. Be thankful. In Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to the uncleanness, to uncleanness through what? The lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And of course, it goes on to speak about the gay lifestyle, about homosexuality and lesbianism. And that's not hate speech. That's just the consequence of turning your back on God. Now, I know that that's not popular, but that's biblical. But I would suggest you tonight to read the rest of Romans chapter 1, because we fasten our eyes on the obvious and the ones that are the most visible. But the Bible says there's other forms of depravity. Whispering, backbiting, disobedience to parents. That is depravity as well. And so it's just not some things. When you turn your back on God, morally, verbally, everything is non-twisted. And look at the cry of God in verse 13. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. You know what it's like to be a parent and your children may make a tragic decision and it really affects their lives, and you've talked to them and you've prayed with them. And just think how God looks at us. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me. My people, the ones who had the oracles of God, the ones who saw the miracle power of God. He says, oh, if they would just listen to me, if they had only walked in my ways. Notice it says in verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. One of the blessings of obedience promised to Israel in the Mosaic covenant would be that as they were walking in fellowship with God, they would have victory over their enemies. But one of the consequences of disobedience was that they would lose the battles against their enemies. Sadly, the people wouldn't listen to God, and they went into captivity. Instead of living a life of victory, they suffered defeat after defeat. Verse 15, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock. Should I have satisfied thee? You notice should? I should have, I should have, I should have, I should have. Why didn't he? Because his people wouldn't listen. His people simply wouldn't listen. The psalm opens with a make a joyful noise. Take a psalm. Blow up the trumpet. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And it closes here with a sigh. Oh, that my people had only listened. I should have subdued their enemies. I should have fed them with the finest of wheat, with honey out of the rock. Disobedience spells defeat, distress, and death. Obedience is the pathway to gladness, both here and hereafter. But here's the thing. God has given to every one of us, and for those watching online, this incredible gift of volition and choice. God sets before us life and death, blessing and cursing. He puts it right out there. He says, now you choose. It is a choice. You're not a robot. God declares what he wanted to do for his people. And you and I so often forfeit what God wants to do for us when we insist on having our own way. It reminds us of that account in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13, Verses 34 and 35, Jesus, near the end of his earthly ministry, says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which kills the prophets and stones them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, but you would not." God says, "I would have gathered you, and you refused." History sadly repeats itself in the same way when people ignore the voice of God and insist on walking in their own stubborn and selfish ways. And that path always leads to slavery, defeat, and bondage. Doesn't have to be like that. Doesn't have to be like that. And even if someone here tonight is in that place, or someone watching is in that place, let me give you a little bit of hope. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Coming to Jesus and surrendering to him is the only place that you and I can find rest for our souls. The prophet Isaiah says that there is no peace to the wicked. No peace. No peace. Psalm 82, another psalm of Asaph. It's a psalm that is directed to the judges of the nation. And verse 1 says, God, or the Hebrew there is Elohim. Elohim standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods, Elohim. And so the word gods here, again, is Elohim. It is also translated judges. In Exodus chapter 22, verses 8 and 9, God is giving instructions in the law for how the judges were to determine certain cases. And God called the judges there in Exodus 22, 8 and 9. The English is judges. The Hebrew is Elohim. Why does he call them gods? Because they have authority over a person's destiny. And this verse tells us that God is going to judge the judges who treat people unfairly and unjustly. And that's why it's so important that you and I, as born-again, heaven-bound believers, that is why it is so important that we saturate our minds often with this one fact. Think eternity. Think eternity. Think big picture. And we'll develop this as we go through here. The psalmist says in verse 2, "How long will you judge unjustly and accept or favor the persons of the wicked?" Selah, stop, pause, think about that. Now, let me ask you, and I'm pretty sure the answer I'm going to get. Have you ever seen some cases of unjust things happening where it seems like the bad guys get off the hook and the good guys get taken to the cleaners? And you wonder, God, how long? You ever been there? Ever done that? And so then this psalm is going to help us get the right perspective. The judges were judging unjustly because they were accepting the persons of the rich, the persons of the famous, the persons of the mighty. When it says "you" there, in the pronoun "you" in verse 2, it's in the plural because the Lord was addressing all these guilty judges. Years ago, Pastor Chuck Smith said this, quote, "One of the problems with our judicial system is the fact that money really is the thing that counts. If you're poor, then you can't afford a good attorney, and you can't afford to put up a good defense. But if you're rich, then you can afford to put all kinds of delays and appeals and on and on and on, and justice doesn't prevail on an equal basis throughout our whole society. That isn't true justice." And it happens all the time. I hate to say it, but I don't have much faith in our judicial system. I think that there's a lot of calling evil good and good evil. Now notice what the judges were supposed to do. Verse 3 and 4. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted or the destitute and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. That's what judges, good judges. Good judges. Honest judges. Judges with a conscience. That's what they're supposed to do. God says that they were ordained, judges were ordained by God to do three things: defend the poor, judge righteously, and defend the needy. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's what they really did? How about defend the unborn? How about defend the things that are pure and holy and right and godly? I think the Supreme Court, well, I wish that one of them were watching right now, but they're probably not. I think every person on the Supreme Court needs to hear that they are going to stand before the Supreme Court. And what he says is going to last for all eternity. Okay, that felt really good to say that. But the reality of it is, all too often, it's the wealthy who can afford a slick lawyer who knows how to use legal jargon that will concoct a story whereby a judge will swing a verdict that favors them, even if they are guilty. Well, I got a couple of things thinking. If I better not say it. There's been so many cases like this that we and I have seen. Obvious guilt and people getting off the hook. Why? Because these judges were on the take. Not only did they pay off the lawyers, the judges were on the take. They were bribed. And here God accuses these lesser human judges of all the social injustices that were decreed by them in violation of the Mosaic law. And allegedly, our judicial system was at one time based on the Judeo-Christian principles. But because we no longer fear God and honor God, there is no more morality undergirding our courts. Now, at this point, you might be inclined to think that both the judges, their clients, and even God are are getting away with bloody murder. You might be thinking, yeah. You might be thinking right now of something, of some case, of some situation. They're getting away with bloody murder. If that's what you're thinking, beloved, just hold on a few minutes. Verse 5, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. Boy, oh boy, how true God's word is. When the law of God is ignored or disobeyed, that shakes and undergirds the very foundations of society. Just look at our nation. You know why our nation is in such turmoil? You know why there's so much violence? You know why we live in such a toxic time? It's because the moral foundations of God have been ignored or disobeyed. That's why. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. God measures time morally. And when the Bible says he is long-suffering, he is really long-suffering. Because I don't know about you, but there's times when I'm watching television and like James and John, I'm saying, Lord, why don't you just call down some fire on heaven? Let's just nuke them. Let's get this thing over with and let's get on to heaven. You ever think of that? None of you have. Paul has. Thank you, Paul, for being a... Al, thank you. Yeah, so the three of us. You guys can pray for us later. You know, it's like there are times when I'm watching the news and I'm okay. This is Pastor Ray's, the side of me. To, you know, I'm thinking, where's the nuke button? Can I have it? Can I get the code just right now? You know, get the code. I can't believe some of the things that are going on that are being tolerated in our nation. I just can't believe it. That's because we've lost our moral compass. We've said to God, God, we don't want you. Even though God's name and scriptures are all over Washington, D.C., it's all in name. Look at our nation. Look what happens when a nation chooses to rebel against the truth of God. Look what's happened to our families. Look at what's happened to our educational system. You really want to get messed up? Just listen to the stuff that some of the children, grandchildren, I have grandchildren, being taught in the public educational system. You've got to unteach them what they're learning. That's because we've lost their way. Now, verse 6. This verse, I'm sure, will sound familiar to you. I have said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Jehovah was telling these Jews that they were sitting in judgment. And when one sits in the place of judgment, he or she is actually taking the place of God. Listen to this quote. Beloved, whenever you start judging someone, when you have taken that position of judging, you are taking the act that belongs only to God. And James tells us that there is only one judge and lawgiver, and he or she is not in this sanctuary or on planet Earth. There's only one judge and lawgiver. Now, I said this, the passage sounds familiar, because Jesus quoted this passage in the Gospel of John when the Pharisees were getting ready to stone him. And Jesus, you remember, he says, I've done a lot of good things among you. For which of these things are you going to stone me? And they said, not for the good things, but we're stoning you because you, being a man, are making yourself out to be the Son of God. And Jesus, in quoting this passage in John 10:34, supported the interpretation that the gods, Elohim, were human beings. And with a play on words, Jesus declares that if those human leaders could be called gods, little g, certainly the Messiah could be who I am, the Son of God. Notice what he says to these judges, verse 7. You're going to die like men. And you're going to fall like one of the princes. A judge or earthly ruler may have a lot of authority and power here on earth. For 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, just however long. And it's true. You may have, they may have control of people's lives. But God is telling them, you're going to die just like any man. And one day you are going to stand before the righteous judge of heaven and earth, and you are going to give an account for your corrupt and unfair decisions. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Have you ever felt God's tug on your heart to participate in a foreign mission but didn't know where to start? Pastor Ray would like to invite you to learn more about the work he is doing in India. IndiaConnection.org is a small but growing missionary organization that is made up of over 100 Christian fellowships spread across India. In the face of poverty and persecution, our pastors proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, people are hearing the good news and getting saved every day. Here in Rochester, India Connection gives everybody a chance to help equip and edify God's church in India. Our volunteers help build churches in villages that have never had one before, heal the sick on a medical missions trip, teach young men and women how to be effective teachers of the Word, and care for abandoned and at-risk children at the Girls' Home of Pune. A good place to start is to come to one of our meetings, the third Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship in East Rochester. Our next meeting is April 20th. Hope to see you there.
Now, Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.